and then you put a plate or something on top of it, and when you heat it up, it goes bang. I mean, not seriously bang. And when it's stopped banging, you take the plate off and it's metamorphosed into these, things.
He looked at their uncomprehending faces.
You can eat it, he mumbled apologetically. If you put butter and salt on it, it tastes like, salty butter.
Silverfish reached out a chemical-stained hand and cautiously selected a fluffy morsel. He chewed it thoughtfully.
Don't really know why he did it, said Peavy, blushing. Just sort of had an idea that it was right.
Silverfish went on chewing.
Tastes like cardboard, he said after a while.
Sorry, said Peavy, trying to scoop the rest of the heap back into the sack.
Silverfish laid a gentle hand on his arm.
Mind you, he said, selecting another puffed morsel, it does have a certain something, doesn't it? They do seem right. What did you say it's called?
Hasn't really got a name, said Peavy. I just called it banged grains.
Silverfish took another one.
Funny how you want to go on eating them, he said. Sort of moorish. Banged grains. Right. Anyway, gentlemen, let us turn the handle one more time.
Lully started to wind the film back into the unmagical lantern.
You were saying you knew a place where we could really build up the project and where the wizards wouldn't bother us, he said.
Silverfish grabbed a handful of banged grains.
It's along the coast away, he said. Nice and sunny, and no one ever goes there these days. Nothing there but some wind-blown old forest and a temple and sand dunes.
A temple? Gods can get really pissed if you...
Peavy began.
Look, said Silverfish, the whole area's been deserted for centuries. There's nothing there. No people, no gods, no nothing. Just lots of sunlight and land waiting for us. It's our chance, lads. We're not allowed to make magic. We can't make gold. We can't even make a living. So let's make moving pictures. Let's make history.
The alchemist sat back and looked more cheerful.
Yeah, said Lully. Oh, right, said Peavy. Here's to moving pictures, said Sendivoge, holding up a handful of banged grains. How'd you hear about this place?
Oh, Silverfish stopped. He looked puzzled. Don't know, he said eventually. Can't quite remember. Must have heard about it once and forgot it, and then it just popped into my head. You know how these things happen.
Yeah, said Lully, like with me in the film. It was like I was remembering how to do it. Funny old tricks the mind can play.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an idea whose time has come, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
That must be it.
A slightly worried silence settled over the table. It was the sound of minds trying to put their mental fingers on something that was bothering them. The air seemed to glitter.
What's this place called?
Said Lully eventually.
Don't know what it was called in the old days, said Silverfish, leaning back and pulling the banged grains towards him. These days they call it the Holy Wood.
Holy Wood, said Lully. Sounds familiar.
There was another silence while they thought about it. It was broken by Sendivoge.
Oh, well, he said cheerfully. Holy Wood, here we come.
Yeah, said Silverfish, shaking his head as if to dislodge a disquieting thought. Funny thing, really. I've got this feeling that we've been going there all this time.
Several thousand miles under Silverfish, Great Artuin, the world turtle, sculled dreamily on through the starry night. Reality is a curve. That's not the problem. The problem is that there isn't as much as there should be. According to some of the more mystical texts in the stacks of the Library of Unseen University, the Discworld's premier college of wizardry and big dinners, whose collection of books is so massive that it distorts space and time, at least 9/10 of all the original reality ever created lies outside the multiverse, And since the multiverse, by definition, includes absolutely everything that